This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. You got to be, come on, I dare you to be daring in your prayers. Father, thank you for the word this afternoon, especially as we preach on one of our greatest privileges on prayer. And I pray that we will unlock things that will help our prayers to be answered in a quicker and a more direct way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Seven hindrances to prayer. Well, first of all, let me say that prayer, I believe, probably is the greatest privilege that God's given us. Amen. It's not a duty or an obligation. It's something we get to do. When we pray, it's not something we do for God. It's something we do for ourselves. We have the privilege of going to the King of the universe, the creator of all things, and asking him to get involved in our own little personal lives and do things for us that we can never do for ourselves. And so that's really pretty amazing. And you can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a particularly spiritual posture. It's good to have set apart times for prayer, but you can pray your way through the day. What I call just, you know, we used to say, which many of you maybe do, when I pray, I'm going to pray about that. Well, you don't need to do that. You can pray right now. So the first hindrance to prayer is you can't get an answer if you don't ask. So first, you got to pray. And it's interesting how many times Jesus said to ask. Ask. And actually that word ask means to put a demand on what already belongs to you. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? See, Jesus has already bought and paid for every blessing, spiritual and material, and yet we're not going to get it if we don't ask for it. You have not because you ask not. And many people don't ask because they don't believe they're deserving, or they don't believe that God would do anything for them because they've done things wrong or whatever the case might be. But you're only cheating yourself if you don't ask. God invites us to ask. Seven times in John 14, 15, and 16, seven times he said ask. John 14, 12 through 14 says, verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and even greater things than these will they do because I'm going to the Father. Now, you know, it took me a long time to feel like I had any understanding on that scripture. It's like, how could anybody do greater things than what Jesus did? And I would allocate that thinking to the miracles he did and the, you know, the amazing things, but I believe it more pertains to what we can all do together as a body of believers. Now, and I say this in a right spirit, but do you realize that I reach more people in one day on TV than Jesus reached in the 33 years he was here? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's because of the technology that God has made available that the devil's trying to take over and use. And we need to use those things to get the gospel around the world. And so we can really do great things. It's amazing how many people today, it amazes me how many people must sit with their phone in their hand all day long, just looking at something. We put a silly picture on of my son trying to get me to dance with him. How many of you saw that? Okay, see, well, in a way it aggravated me because I had something on Instagram about studying the word, and we had 42,000 hits, and that thing with me dancing got over 1.4 million. I said, maybe I'm in the wrong business. Maybe I've got a second backup job here. I can dance, get a lot of people to watch that. So ask, how many of you agree that sometimes we just kind of feel like, well, maybe we shouldn't ask for that, you know? It's like, or we think God's mad at us. Can I tell you that God's not mad at you? And even if you've done something wrong, you can simply repent, be sorry for it, be willing to go in a brand new direction, and it's as if you never did it, and you can ask God for anything that you need. I remember a woman that I met in a store. She was a clerk in the store, and we talked while she was waiting on me, and somehow or another I found out she was a Christian, and I was asking her how they were paid. Were they on commission or just get a salary or what? She said, well, we're salaried, but we have to meet certain criteria. We have to meet certain goals or we will eventually lose our jobs. And she said, I'm a little concerned because mine have been kind of low lately. And I said to her, which sounded very normal to me, I said, well, do you ever pray that God will give you favor and send customers to you? And she said, she'd been a Christian 30 years, and she said, well, would it be okay to ask God for something like that? I said, you can ask God for anything. You know, the worst thing that's going to happen is he won't give it to you. So it's not, you don't have to be afraid. And I love these, well, God, if you'll just do this, and if you'll just do that, let's quit going to God with these little bitty, you know, afraid that he won't do very much for us, and start asking boldly, like the Bible says. Obviously, you need to have the right heart of reverence and, you know, respect for God. But I just want you to know that God wants to hear your voice, and he wants to hear what you have to say, and he wants you to ask him for things that you want and need. But as you're going to see today, he wants us to care more about spiritual things than material things. Amen. So I'm not necessarily talking about, will you get me a new car? Will you get me this? Will you get me that? Will you get me something else? Because the Bible plainly says that if we seek first the kingdom, that things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of being and doing, and things will be added. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you can just have something in your heart that you would like to see happen in your life. And if you're more concerned about growing spiritually, and those are the things that you study and ask for, then God will do those things, but he'll add as a bonus those desires of your heart. I think one of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered is because we're just going after material stuff all the time and not the things that really are really important. And you're going to see in a minute, I'm going to take the time to read to you the prayers of the Apostle Paul that he prayed for the church. They're in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Galatians, I think. And not once, not one time in any of those prayers did Paul ever ask for any of the people to be delivered from their problems, nor did he ask for one material thing for himself or for any of them. He asked for things that people would know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love that God had for them, and that they would have revelation knowledge. Everything he asked for was something that would make them more mature spiritually, but God still took care of and met their needs. Spend time every day praying. And once again, that doesn't mean you have to go off in a corner and get down your knees and shut your eyes to start sounding spiritual. It means that you could just talk to God about what you need. And it is good, as I said, to have a set apart time for prayer where it's quiet, get in a quiet atmosphere, get quiet on the inside, and, you know, do it reverently because you're talking to God, and you'll be amazed what he'll do in your life. And I will do, verse 13, John 14, 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, I'm going to have to admit to you that after 45 years of teaching, I still can't fully grasp those scriptures that we can ask for anything and he'll do it. So we also have to interpret scripture by scripture, which means that you can't just pull one scripture out of the middle and make that everything. There are other scriptures that say that whatever we ask according to his will, that he'll give us. So God listens to our prayers and he gives us what he knows is best for us, and he does it in his timing. John 15, 7 and 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Everybody say ask.
Yes.
This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself as my disciples. John 15, 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you and I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. These are some outrageous promises. Do you know that? I mean, this is what an outrageous invitation. I am God. Come to me and ask me for anything, and I'll do it. Wow. Somebody say, wow. You're looking at me like, huh? You got to be bold in your prayers. You know, one time I felt, it just came in my heart, and probably sounds stupid, but I pray that I'd be able to help every person on the whole planet. And I mean, I even thought myself, no, that's dumb, you know, but I prayed it anyway. And you know what? I'm sure that I haven't reached them all, but we're preaching in over 100 languages in about 2/3 of the world. So you know how amazing that is? That a woman with a 12th grade education that started out brokenhearted and messed up is having the privilege of preaching to that many people around the world. But let's remember, I ask. I asked for something that sounded outrageous that I did not deserve, and God did it. I wonder how many things you're missing or I'm missing because we just don't ask. And we get that the devil wants us to have that idea, I don't deserve it, and you should thank him for reminding you because he's right. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But that's the great thing about God. When we go in Jesus' name, we're not presenting to God all that we are. We're presenting what Jesus is. That's what the Amplified Bible says. When you pray in his name, you're presenting to God all that Jesus is. When he left, he said, I'll give you my name. And we use it. We have the power of attorney to use Jesus' name just as if it was him. John 16, 26. 27, in that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. He said, I'm not going to ask for you. I'm giving you my name and I'm giving you the power to go straight to God and ask him for what you want and need. I wonder if anybody's getting an inkling of how powerful this is. Wow. Almost makes me want to do nothing but pray all the time. This was his instruction prior to the Garden of Gethsemane where his suffering began. And we miss a great deal in life because we fail to pray. There's so much more that God wants to do for you than what you can even imagine. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. You gotta be, come on, I dare you to be daring in your prayers. Just like when I asked to help every person on the planet, that, I mean, I did that and it sounded stupid even to me. But I asked. James 4:2, now I read that to you in our teaching this morning. And this is a different translation. It says, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill, which really means you hate people. You know, it's pitiful, but sometimes we do. We resent and dislike and sometimes even hate people that have what we would like to have and don't have. Don't be, if we're jealous of what somebody else has, we'll never get what we want. Did you hear what I said? As long as we're jealous of what somebody else has, we will never get what we want. I think sometimes it's a test that God gives us to just put somebody in front of us that's got everything that we'd like to have and that we don't have, just to see if we'll be happy for them or if we're going to be jealous of them and dislike them. Jealousy is a big problem. If you're jealousy of a sibling, if you're jealous of a sibling, or you're jealous of somebody you work with, you need to ask God to forgive you for that and start praying for them to be blessed even more than they are. You know, I just noticed recently, of course, in each of the Gospels, there's a little different account of when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and going through what we refer to as his agony. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. three separate times, he went to the Father and said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So with everything in him, he did not want to go to the cross. And I don't think it was so much because of the crucifixion as it was him taking our sins on himself. I can't even imagine how horrible that must have been for somebody as amazing and holy as he is to take the sin of the whole world. The Bible says he became sin. Wow. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So as much as he did not want to go to the cross, he wanted to do God's will. That kind of got me just thinking about what that must have been like for him. And yet he did it for us. And he gave us the privilege of going to God in prayer and asking in his name for whatever we want and need. It's amazing. You have not because you ask not. You know, that little verse of scripture was kind of life-changing for me. Because in the Amplified, it talks about what causes strife and fights and feuds and quarrels. And it says you want all this stuff and you're not getting it, so you fight and you war and you're jealous of other people. And then it very simply says, you have not because you ask not. When I got a hold of that, I thought, well, I'm done being careful. I'm going to start asking for anything and everything that I can think of that I would want. Amen? Why not? And you know, we already know if we're just going to go to God asking for carnal stuff, that our motives are all wrong, he's not going to give it to us. Matter of fact, I've learned a great deal in 45 years, which I'm sure you understand. And I remember one time when God made me aware, and I think it was when I was studying these prayers of Paul, that I was asking for too much stuff and not enough of what was really important. And God was really, at that time in my life, teaching me about the importance of his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. And God challenged me to not ask him for anything until he gave me permission to again, except him. Don't ask me for anything except more of me. Try that for a while. And it was challenging. And I, you know, things would come up in me and I'd start to ask God for something and I'd say, oh, never mind. All I need is more of you. More of you. See, if we get things in the right order, then there's nothing good this world can offer that God doesn't want you to have. Do we really think he makes all the good stuff for the sinners? But he wants us to be able to handle them right. 1 John 3 says, beloved, I would above all else that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so we could say that a little different way. According to your level of spiritual maturity and ability to handle it, I want you to have anything and everything that you want. But God is not going to give us more than we can handle and handle it right. And let me tell you something. Money can be dangerous if it's not being managed by somebody who loves God. I mean with all of their heart. Amen. There's so many people in entertainment business, and I'm sure in others, that they start out right, and then they get famous, and they start getting money, and they start getting things, and pressure starts coming on them to do this and that and something else, and then they end up getting away from God. And I ask God all the time, please don't give me more than I can handle and stay humble. Amen? I don't want anything that's not right for me. There's nothing worse than having a bunch of stuff that's going to drive you away from God instead of bringing you closer to him. And let me tell you something, the more you have, the more you should give. You start where you're at. You start giving a portion of what you have, no matter how small it is. Who's one of the most famous women in the Bible? The woman who gave something less than a penny. The widow's mite. Matter of fact, we don't even have a denomination as small as what she gave. How many of you are old enough that you remember when they had mills? My gosh. Me and two other people? Now I feel really ancient. Come on, help me. You got to remember that, don't you, when they had mills? Yeah, they had red ones and green ones, right? See, I'm going to go over here and talk to the older people. Weren't they plastic? They weren't even really made out of metal. They were plasticky, I think. Yeah, and so you might go buy something, it would be so many dollars and so many cents and three mills. Well, yeah, and what? Well, they got rid of that. So let's just say that this widow, she gave maybe two mills. Less than a penny, and yet she's still being talked about in the Bible. So we're not talking amount, we're talking sacrifice. And Jesus said, she gave all that she had, but you gave only a little bit out of a lot that you had. And I think that Jesus is not as concerned about what we give as he is what we have left after we give. Amen. All right, I'll get off money because I know. Do you know that people talk to you about money everywhere you go, but the only place that bothers you is in church? I mean, if you think about that, it quickly gets you to understand why the devil has done such a number in that area, that people always think if a preacher talks to people about giving that he's trying to get in their pockets. Anyway, I'm so glad that somebody taught me to give. I'm grateful that I came into the church at a time when people didn't get aggravated if you talked to them about how they could prosper and how God wanted to bless them. But you can't get that out of balance and put that first. Beloved, I would above all else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. As you mature spiritually, I want to give you as much as you possibly can handle, but God's not going to give us more than we can handle. That's why we need to pray for the spiritual things and let God add the material things as He sees fit and knows that it's right.
Discover the freedom to talk to God about anything and everything with today's offer, The Power of Simple Prayer. Through her practical teaching, Joyce helps unravel the mystery of talking to God and shares the building blocks for a more rich and intimate prayer relationship with Him. And when you order, you'll also get this bonus digital series, Prayers That Get Answered. The Power of Simple Prayer and bonus series Prayers That Get Answered is available to order for your gift of $25 or more. Connect with us right now. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
Let me give you a great example of how Project Girl works. You see, God's love represented here has totally changed my life. Now, all I need to do is share it with another woman or girl. How many trips have you been on now?
This is my third trip with Land of Hope.
Uh-huh. And what was the main reason that you did want to do this? You said you wanted to travel to help people.
Yes, it's a total different work as a doctor here than back in my home country. But it's really, I feel like I really wanted to do that, to just help people in poor countries who cannot have access to medical care. I do that because I love Jesus. And I hope that the patients feel that. Sometimes we just pray right at the investigation table with them, so just to make them know that Jesus is the doctor all above us.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.